beautiful night. Break out the champagne. Everybody get a laugh.
You are now tuned in to another episode of Champagne Problems, a podcast for the righteous and wretched, bridging the gap between pop culture and self-help. If you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe, rate, comment, and share this podcast if you like what you hear. Also follow us on our Instagram page at Champagne Problems. Now pop your bottle and grab your glass. Champagne Problems starts now. Hey you, yes you. Before we get started with this podcast today, I have an announcement that I need to make, and I need y'all to all do me a favor. As you guys may know by the title of this episode, this is the season finale. We are getting ready to go into season 2 in early 2019. I want to thank everybody, whether you listen one time or every week for the last 28 episodes, I want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart for really rocking with me and just being a support to me each and every week. I really want to do something special for my number ones. And so what I really need y'all to do for me, because y'all never listen to me, but I really need y'all, if you have listened to just one episode, whether you listen to one or every week, I need you to DM me, slide in the DMs at Champagne Problems, and let me know that you listen and tell me what you think about the show, what you like about the show. I want to do something special for all my day one listeners. I have a surprise for y'all coming in season 2. So please, 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 I know the number, but I will not shout it out. I know how many people on average listen and, you know, a week. So I would love y'all. Please DM me at Champagne Problems on Instagram. Tell me that you're a listener and tell me what you like about the show. And I have a surprise coming for y'all. Season 2. Again, thank y'all so much. I love y'all. Now let's get into this 29th episode, season finale. Hello, hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Champagne Problems, the podcast for the righteous and ratchet, bridging the gap between pop culture and self-help. I am your host, Nico. This is the season finale. I am so excited. I cannot believe this is the 29th episode. Y'all have rocked with me for 29 weeks. That is 6 months or so. I words cannot describe how I feel about this moment. I cannot believe that I'm here. This has been the most dedicated I've been to anything that was for me. So this feels really good to know that at least somebody is listening every week. But thank you so much. I decided this is going to be a special random rants episode. I know y'all love these. And I actually enjoy really doing them. So we're gonna just leave off on a high note. There's so much to talk about. I titled this episode Kings, Queens, and Peasants. So we are going to be talking about everything from the new self-proclaimed king of R&B to Queen B to some people with some peasant behavior in pop culture. So y'all stay tuned. And of course, we're going to take it to the couch. You know, we got to do a little therapy. So we're going to be doing that as well today. Talking about manifestation. So, stay tuned. So we got so much to get into tonight, By the way, tonight's soundtrack is my own playlist of R&B kings and princes and things. So it's this all male R&B. I think it's very appropriate for the title of the episode and the topic, rather. So, kings, queens, and peasants. So, let's just get into it. Y'all all know by now, R&B newcomer. R&B newcomer. Jacquees took to social media, I don't know, roughly a week ago or so, and said that he is the king of R&B of his generation. Right, okay, I thought I'd have a moment of silence for that too. When I first heard that, I was just literally like, what? Like, I had to play it again. Because I was just like, maybe I missed a key word. I don't know. But he said he is the king of R&B of this generation. Yeah. So, at first I was like, okay. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's just feeling himself and, you know, got a little gassed up and got on social media and did something that he shouldn't have done. But what I've come to realize is I think he did this intentionally. And the reason I say that is because I think he knows damn well he's not the king of R&B, past, present, and a good chance not future. I'm just saying. By the way, I actually really like Jacquees. I think he's talented. I think he can sing. I actually do really like him. But I think we're just jumping the gun a little bit by calling ourselves the king of anything. Now, I understand he's been around for a long time. Now, I just know of him mainstream, since he's become mainstream. But Bae brought to my attention that, you know, he was out. He's been hustling for a while, which I sort of knew that, but I didn't. But regardless, you're just now becoming mainstream, and you have one project out, and you cannot just call yourself the king of R&B. Like, what are you doing? Can we not? But the reason I think he did something on purpose, I think he had an angle, and what I've noticed is that it has started the conversation of R&B. R&B has been put on the main street all week. That's all people have been talking about. People have been talking about R&B in a way that has not been talked about in a long time. So I have to give credit where credit is due in that. He really did kind of start that conversation of R&B again. You know, he really did. So I won't, you know, beat up on him too bad. I left that to y'all, because, oh my God, reading, y'all, as y'all know, I told y'all I'm a crazy comment reader. I was reading some comments that were just taking me out the damn game, about him being the king of R&B. And so some other artists had their two cents. One that I'm playing right now, Tank, and I believe he said something to the extent of Chris Brown and Trey Songz are... No, my bad. I'm getting people mixed up. I think Tank said that, you know, of course, that R. Kelly was king of R&B, which it hurts my throat to say, but, you know, Robert the Rapist, you know, he is the king of R&B. I mean, he really is. It really pains me to say that, but he is. And I believe Tyrese was the one who said that Chris Brown and Trey Songz are the young R&B princes or whatever. Which I agree. I was kind of weirded out by that he called them like prince, because I'm like, I know you're not referring to yourself as one of the kings. Like, okay. But you know, I'm gonna leave that alone too. Eric Bellinger, he weighed in. A lot of people probably don't know about Eric Bellinger, but he is, and that's no, that don't even deserve a shots fired, because I actually really like Eric Bellinger. He's a singer-songwriter. He's written out a lot of songs. He makes albums as well, but he's just really like low-key on independent level. Like, he has his fan base, and he's just not popping like that. But anyway, he weighed in, I believe. I think he actually had a video that he recorded of Usher kind of smiling and smirking when he was talking about the whole King of R&B thing with Jacquees. So he weighed in on it. Then, I mean, there were so many people that weighed in. Diddy weighed in on it. Jay Holiday weighed in. And I'm kind of like, okay. Because I don't really know what else to say, but like, you really don't need to be weighed in on anything that's concerning the King of R&B. Like, I don't remember what he said, but I'm just like, that's laughable. Like, you coming for anybody, Mr. One Hit Wonder. Like I said, it really just started a conversation about R&B, and I'm very, very excited about that. It really got people talking about R&B and just making R&B important again. You know, I just feel like in the culture that we're in, or the time that we're in right now, like, everyone loves to bite off Black culture, and what's the phrase called? Culture, is it appropriation? I think so. You know, everyone talks about their phrase, and so it's just nice that people are just talking about, you know, R&B. Now, personally, I feel like, of course, like I said earlier, you know, Robert the Rapist is the king of R&B. I would say of this generation, you know, generation span, like, so, you know, I think Jacquees, when he was saying of this generation, I think he feels like that he is carving out a new generation, but his age bracket and also where he has come out, like, I think he did negate, like, the Chris Browns and that sort of thing, because that's a, you know, I think they're all in the same generation. So I do think in this generation, Chris Brown has been, you know, doing his thing in R&B as well as Trey Songz. what a coincidence. The only hit that he ever had just came off. But yeah, so, you know, of course, I think Tank has been doing his thing. I think, you know, I would say Tyrese, but I just don't care for Tyrese. And I know it has absolutely nothing to do with his artistry. It's terrible, but him just as a person just makes my skin crawl. Like, he just does. Ugh. He just does. It's just something that's so misogynistic and arrogant and whatever about him that I can't deal. But I digress. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many artists that I think are doing the thing, and I'm not really into the whole title thing anyway, of like calling someone the you know, I don't even really like the whole phrase, you know, about, you know, the GOAT and all of that, like calling someone the greatest of all time. I don't know, I just think, you know, there's room for everybody, and there are people that obviously are more successful than others and more talented than others and blah 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 blah, but I don't know, I just think it's just We don't always have to pit each other against the next. You know? Just saying. But I'm excited to where I feel like this is going to push R&B to a different dimension in 2019. I really do. And I will say, if things become a bit more progressive and R&B kind of comes back more and gets put more on the spot, I would have to say we would have to give Jacquees the credit for this. Because he's got everybody talking. He's got everybody talking. So, shout out to him for that. And I hope that he continues to make good music and evolves as an artist and all of that. Because he really is a very solid artist. I enjoy him. And I like R&B artists that are current and they can do kind of what's hot. But they also always take a piece of where it all started, the foundation, and who inspires them and where it comes from. You know, I mean, his big song, breakout song, Bed, obviously was a sample. So, you know, I think that he has an appreciation for the people that have come before him. So, I appreciate that. But enough about his little ass. Let's see. Moving on from alleged kings, let's talk about some queens, shall we? Well, a queen, the queen, Miss Beyonce. This week was the 5th anniversary, December 13th, of the Beyonce self-titled album, the surprise album. I wanted to talk about this because it just really changed the game and the climate of the music industry. And it was a great body of work. It was, but outside of that, what it did for the industry and as a whole, I mean, I think trumped in everything. That was such a crazy move. It was a risk, and it worked. It worked, and it has changed the landscape and how everyone, it set the bar, and it changed the landscape of how everyone releases music to this day. And I just think that's what a queen is. That's what royalty is. We talk about king and queens of things. That's what a queen is. Like, that was a boss ass move that she did. It changed the game. Whether Beyonce makes another record or not, artists will continue on a trend and a path. I don't say we're in a trend. I think trends go away. And I think that this is kind of here to stay, where she literally changed how artists release music, in the sense where it's not all this hype and build up. It's just, there's no middleman. It's literally the artist directly to the fans. And I love it. Side note, I love this song that's playing. It's called When It's Magic. It's by an artist named Elijah Blake. Y'all gotta check him out. But this is my favorite song by him. Anyway. Beyonce created a moment when it came to this album. I mean, just that year. Like, she started off the year with the whole lip sync scandal, so to speak, where she sang at the inauguration and she sang to a pre-recorded track, which isn't the same as lip syncing, and I don't feel like going into all of that. But anyway, and then she turned right around and killed Super Bowl that year, sang that one live, hello, and reunited my girls, Destiny's Child. Excuse me. And then she kind of had that moment where she kind of just kind of went away a bit, and you were like, okay. Everyone was expecting, like, okay, she's gonna drop a single, she's gonna drop something. because the momentum was just hot. She just kind of just went away. And all these haters were talking about, oh, Beyonce's time is up. And I remember specifically reading an article of, like, her music is no longer in demand and people are not craving her like they were in the past. It's all about, you know, the newer artists and, you know, the Rihannas and, you know, whoever else was out at the time. They don't even matter. And so I was getting frustrated, as, you know, the rest of the hive, like, girl, like, we're getting ready to end this year without you releasing anything. And I remember exactly where I was the night that album released. Oh my God. I was at home. It was like 1 a.m. I was just getting ready to go to bed. I was scrolling through my phone on Facebook. And I read a status from somebody that said, well, Beyonce did it again. And I was like, Beyonce did it again. Did what? So I was really like, oh my God, like, what did she do? Because I'm always on Beyonce, you know, on Beyonce watch. So I was just like, wait a minute, what happened? So I'll never get it. I literally went to, opened up Safari, the browser, went to Google, and just literally just typed in Beyonce. The first thing that came up, it was like 45 minutes ago, Beyonce drops a surprise album on iTunes. I was like, oh my God, what? So I hurry up and go and press play and, you know, listen to the, I just, oh my God, it was like Christmas. I felt like a kid on Christmas. I was so excited. And I literally, I don't think I went to bed until like 3 o'clock that night, like 3 o'clock that morning. And I had to go to work the next day. I was so geeked. I could not even go to bed. I just remember playing it over and over and over again. I loved all the songs. And I was just like, I cannot believe she just pulled a fast one like this. She literally just dropped an album without saying a word. No one's ever done that. And oh, there go the king, y'all. But anyway, yeah, so I was just like, oh my God, like, it was crazy. It was all over the news the next day. I mean, it was literally on, like, local news. Like, she had died or something. Like, it was such a big deal. It was just a moment in time. And it just changed how everyone releases me. She released it surprisingly. She didn't release it. At that time, everyone was still releasing music on Tuesdays. And she released it on a Friday. To this day now, as we know, all new music comes out on Fridays. And now most artists don't announce they have coming out with an album. They just release it. Or they don't do singles anymore. They may announce the album, but they don't do singles. Like, she changed the game. Like she said, changed the game when the digital dropped. You know where you was when that digital popped. Like, it's a story. I still remember where I was and what I was doing when that shit came out. I was so excited. Then a week later, she dropped the physical copies. I bought a physical. That's literally, I think, the last physical copy of a CD I bought. And I was just so excited. It was just a big, big moment. Some of my favorite songs on that album. Of course, I love kind of the ones that were on radio as quote-unquote singles. I love Drunken Love. I love Partition. I love Partition. Partition is like my shit. That's one of those songs that you just instantly feel like a sexy stripper. I don't know why, but I love Partition. But outside of that, I love Jealous. That's one of my favorites. I love No Angel. I love... I really like all those songs. I even like songs that had a different vibe for her. Like, I love the whole Haunted Ghost song. That was really different for Beyonce. The only song I think I don't like on that album was EXO. It's just corny to me. And I wasn't the craziest about Blue. I know. Sue me. But this is a great album. I really love that album. And she just kind of set the bar. So shout out to my girl Beyonce. Y'all know I love me some Beyonce. So I thought that was appropriate. Since we're talking about kings, queens, and peasants and things. Yeah. Love me some Beyonce. Can't wait to see what she's going to do next either. Because, you know, with her, I just get to the point where I'm like, what more can you do? Like, I no longer have any hair. Like, you have snatched my edges. You have literally just scalped me over and over and over again. I mean, at this point, she has performed radiation and chemo on me. Like, the hair won't even grow back. Like, I can't take it. I just can't take it. But, you know, we'll see what she does. Now let's move on to some peasantry. I don't even know if that's a word. But anyway, I wanted to talk about Mr. Kevin Hart. So, as you guys know, he got chosen to host the Oscars for 2019. And, you know, I was fine with that. But for whatever reason, people started coming against him about him making homophobic comments in the past. Now, I don't know how that correlates to hosting the Oscars. I really don't. And I'm not even defending him in this, but I that was odd to me. I still don't know what that correlation was about. But, yeah. So, they gave him an ultimatum, basically, of, like, either you apologize or you step down. So, he chose to step down and not to host the Oscars. And a lot of people were upset because they were like, wow, like, it's that deep. You felt that strongly about it where you passed up on your Oscar bag, you know, instead of apologizing. So I wasn't familiar with what he said in the past. So I was, and the only thing I got was the quote from him when he was just saying, like, you know, I've evolved since then, and I've already addressed this once and apologized. I'm not going to apologize over and over again, so I'm not apologizing. But then I think he did turn around and ended up apologizing anyway. So I was like, well, I don't even know what he said, you know what I mean? And so I kind of gave him a pass, like, well, if he's evolved, whatever it was, like, you know, no big deal. Until I went back and found the tweets. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So I guess this was back in 2011. Sorry, I had a little technical difficulty there. We're just gonna keep it moving. So in 2011, he apparently made these tweets. Listen, this blew my damn mind. So, well, one of them did. A couple of them weren't that surprising to me, but one, he was saying that he would tell his son, stop, that's gay, if he caught him playing with the dollhouse, and respond by breaking the toy over the child's head. Okay. He also said, as a heterosexual male, if I can prevent my son from being gay, I will. I was like, not so surprising there. The one that took me out the game was, I guess, there was a photo of Damian Dante Wayans, one of the Wayans sons, I'm assuming, and said that he looked like a gay billboard for AIDS. That was it for me. Because not only are you being homophobic, but like, you crossing over into something else. Like, now you're making fun of people with it, like that, like that's just sticky. So I was just kind of like, and I guess my whole thing is, I'm like, I don't know, do you really evolve from that? I mean, you know, I know evolution is possible in many things, but I just kind of thought, I don't know, bro. Like, that one was, that was a lot for me to deal. So it made me honestly feel differently about him. Now, let's make no mistakes. He's not one of my favorite people anyway. He's funny, but I don't think he's, like, just absolutely hilarious. But that's neither here nor there in this conversation. But so I ran across this article on a website called Vox.com. V as in Victor, O, X as an expert. Look at me sound like, spelling phonetically like I'm at a damn call center. But by a journalist by the name of Ernest Owens. Shout out to Ernest Owens. He I ended up following him after reading this article. So he is a gay black male. He's a journalist. And he submitted this art. He contributes to this website, I guess. And he wrote this article about this whole Kevin Hart situation that was just so well put. It's a little lengthy to me, but it was just so well put. I just think a lot of people should read, particularly gay black men. Like, it was a really good article. And it was about that whole kind of battle of, like, supporting him and not supporting him. And it was just really interesting. And he said something that I want to read that I really like. He said, "This is the subconscious hurdle of what being a double minority sometimes looks like. Practicing the art of compassion and compromise, even when one of your communities causes pain to the other. In order to survive, I'm forced to be more tolerant of those privileged within both of my communities, even when they often harbor misplaced animosity towards me." That was so deep to me because I'm like, you know, on one hand, you want to defend him because he's a black man, and, you know, the whole Oscars thing. And you want to be like, well, he's evolved and he's, you know, this and this and that. But then on the other side, when you're part of another minority, another disenfranchised group, look at me using $50 words today. But when you're a part of that kind of another community, the LGBT community, you're just like, hold it. Like, I don't know about that. So, and it was so well put. So shout out to Ernest Owens. It's a really great article. Y'all should really go and check it out. I may post a link to it actually on Champagne Problems Instagram page. I may do it because it was a really good article. I like I said in the beginning, I was sort of on his side, like, oh goodness, like, y'all can't just attack everybody, you know, for old digging up old, you know, tweets and everything. But I had no idea what he said was that bad. Like, I hate to, like, weigh stuff like that, but I'm just kind of like, ugh, it's different when you just, I don't know, when you throw, like, some cheap shots, but, like, that was, like, below the belt, and it was just too much. It was too much. So he's kind of like on probation with me. Like, he's not like quite canceled, but he's skating on, as white men say, you're skating on thin ice, buddy. Like, he is skating on thin ice, like, for real. So I'm interested to see how this is going to turn out. I don't know who they're getting to host it now. I've heard word on the curb is they're having a hard time finding somebody. So we shall see. But I just think that was a really interesting situation. I still don't know how that correlates, for real. Like, how we digging up homophobic tweets in regards to you hosting the Oscar. Like, I don't really know how that correlates. And what happened, I think some people came to his defense and started, like, reposting homophobic things that white men have said that have hosted the Oscars. And I'm just like, y'all know better by now. Like, why do y'all even play those games? Like, the whole white and black thing. Like, come on, stop it. You just deserve a shot fired for that. Like, just stop. I think Nick Cannon came forward. I'm like, girl, sit down. But anyway, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, speaking of comedians, shout out to my girl, one that really is funny. Miss Kathy Griffin. Y'all can throw your shit if y'all want to, but of course, y'all know Kathy Griffin went through, you know, this whole horrendous thing when, you know, President Orange decided to, you know, come after her after that whole picture she took of, you know, that gave the image of a severed head and blah, 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 blah. Ruined her damn career, basically. Anyway, she's still scratching and coming back, and she's been kind of on a little mini press tour because she announced that all of her catalog is now going to be available on iTunes, because it wasn't before. And because she bought all of her catalog back. That is a boss-ass move right there. I don't think people understand how important that is to own your own works, and how many artists, whether it's singer, songwriter, actor, whatever, doesn't own the things that they're a part of or have ownership in what they're involved in. So now My Life on the D-List, her specials, and her even the talk show that she had on Bravo is all available on iTunes now because she bought her catalog. Like, kudos to you, Miss Griffin. That is a big deal. There's not a lot of people who own their own catalogs of things. You know, that's like, I just found out about Mariah Carey a few weeks ago, back when I was doing research for an episode. That she owns her catalog as well. That's just a big deal, like, when you can own your stuff. There's so many things that old white men own in the entertainment industry. It is ridiculous, and that's why a lot of things can't happen because of that. You know, a lot of fans are always asking people for, like, reboots and, like, oh, you should do this, you should do that, and the person, you're bothering the person that was the star of the show or the whatever, but they can't do anything about it because they have no ownership in it. A couple things come to mind. I know one was when, you know, a lot of people were harassing Brandy about, you know, like, why isn't Moesha available on, like, DVDs or, you know, anything, like, you can't purchase Moesha anywhere. And she was just like, I don't own it. Like, I don't, there's nothing I can do about that. Same goes as, you know, Girlfriends, his show Girlfriends with Tracee Ellis Ross and Golden Brooks, Persia White, Jill Marie Jones. Everyone loves that show, and everyone wants, like, a reboot or a movie or, you know, some type of closure because they got kind of screwed over in the whole writer's strike thing. And Mara Brock-Akil, the writer and creator, she's also responsible for Being Mary Jane. She was like, I'd be willing to do it in a minute, but one, I need the money to do it, the budget, and two, it's up to Paramount. We can't do anything about it. So that sucks. Like, there's just so many situations like that. You know, another thing, Tracy Edmonds. I didn't know she was responsible for the movie Soul Food. And come to find out, she doesn't own the rights. The studio does. And I guess they're making another Soul Food movie, but didn't ask her to be a part of it, and there's nothing she can do about it because she doesn't own it. And it's just such a misfortune how we just don't own stuff, particularly as, you know, Kathy Griffin is not black, but as, you know, black people, and also just, you know, again, my word, my $50 word, disenfranchised groups, because honestly, women are a part of that these days. You know, it is a white man's world out here. You better get with it. So I just think that's important. So shout out to Kathy Griffin. I love me some Kathy Griffin. The last thing I want to talk about is so this whole Cardi B situation. I'm not gonna spend a whole lot of time on what happened because y'all know what happened. Obviously, you know the whole cheating and blah blah blah. We know all that by now. I'm so glad I waited because, as y'all know, I didn't address it in the beginning of the episode. That I obviously skipped a week last week. There was just something in my gut just told me, like, just to just wait, and I'm glad I did because so much unfolded about this Cardi B Offset story. And I was just like, oh man, so now I kind of have like a complete story. So, you know, he got caught up with the whole whatever. I don't even feel like going into that. An old girl getting on social media crying in a video and talking about she didn't want to break up a home. And I'm like, girl, I don't fucking see. Anyway, I think what I like, what's funny about this story to me is that, you know, so Offset put an apology on Instagram. I think it was just over the weekend. And about how, you know, he's sorry and all of that. And that he messed up and he wants his family back. And all he wants is to be able to spend Christmas with his family. And blah, 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 and all of that. So I'm like, okay, that's nice. Then, I think this was just as recent as last night, as I woke up this morning to see all of this, he showed up on Cardi's show, one of her shows, and at the end of one of her songs, walked out with like flowers and I don't know, it was a cake or whatever, basically apologizing to her publicly on the mic, on the stage. First of all, she looked pissed. But wouldn't you? It's like, don't be coming to my damn job. I mean, because that's equivalent to like us everyday people. That's like, you know, you're going through a divorce or you're going through a hard time with, you know, your significant other, and they show up at your goddamn office with edible arrangements and shit, and you just like, really? Like, get back. How did you get past security? And apparently Cardi's publicist was a part of this, like, set up, and I'm like, I guess. But she went on live, on Instagram live, I believe, after that, and was, you know, basically just kind of, which I felt like it was really heartfelt, like she was just kind of saying how she's kind of in this space of where, you know, she doesn't want everybody to beat up, you know, Offset too bad, but, you know, she's in a bad situation, and, you know, she's just been going through it, and I don't know, in that moment, I really felt for her for whatever reason. Like, I was just like, you know, it's got to be tough going through what she's going through publicly. And, you know, he's trying. And, you know, that's all we can accept, I guess. What's funny, though, is how everyone is just weighing in on it. Like, the rapper The Game jumped in on it, which, you know, her messy ass is always jumping in some. I see him so much in, like, in comment sections, it is ridiculous. Like, I'm just like, girl, make some damn music that no one's gonna buy. But anyway, like, he jumped in and was basically saying, like, you know, it amazes me how many women, bitter women, are telling her to leave. How do y'all think these marriages last so long? Is because, you know, they didn't let little petty things. I'm like, cheating on me multiple times is not petty. Can we start there? But anyway, I think Lil Mo, the singer, came in and to the defense of the marriage too, talking about she's pro-marriage and all of that, and they need to work on it, and, you know, save your family, and I'm all about marriage. And I'm like, oh, aren't you going to be on marriage boot camp? But anyway, and this is this husband number two. Oh, little Momo. But anyway, so everyone has something to say. Now, the general public is all talking about how they think it's a publicity stunt. I didn't really think about that until I started reading it over and over and over again in comment sections. And I was like, damn, I wonder if that is the case. You know, she did come from Love and Hip Hop, so she's no stranger to a little scripted drama. Shout out to Mona Scott. So we will see, but I don't know. I kind of believe this right now. I don't feel like both of them are kind of hot, you know what I mean? So I don't feel like they really need that type of publicity because they're kind of trendy right now. So I don't think they really need all of that. But again, we will see what happens with that. I don't know. It's interesting though, to say the least. And a lot of people, me and Bay actually were talking about this last night, I believe. Was that me talking or was that me in my sideline? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's a joke that we have. But what it looks like is just that whole thing of like, you know, you embarrassed me publicly, so you need to apologize to me publicly. So I think that's what's going on, which I understand that. So we'll see. I'll be on my little hiatus during while this is unfolding, but you know, I'm sure it'll be something to talk about when I come back. Trust with these two. But yeah, that's all I have, I think, today for my little random rant. Is there anything I want to talk about? I don't think so. I mean, I had a good week. I'm apartment hunting. Getting ready to move. That's a part of my hiatus as well, too. I kind of want to move and get settled and everything and, you know, all that good stuff. I can't wait for season two for the podcast. It's just going to be such an upgrade, and I'm really excited about it. And I just, that's why I'm kind of taking a hiatus. I just need some time to kind of like pull it all together and roll it out all at once. Well, let's see what's going on. Nothing's really going on. Everything's good. The bake cooked for me for like the first time. Like, I've had little stuff like, you know, like omelets and stuff like that for breakfast, but he actually cooked for me, which I was, because I'm a good cook and I love to cook, so I kind of do all the cooking or we go out. So I was very appreciative, and it was actually good food too. I will say, you know, I don't know what I would have did if it was nasty, but it was it was actually really good food, so shout out to Bay. Speaking of Bay, I'm excited for some stuff he has coming up as well. He's getting ready to start a great YouTube channel and everything, and so I'll be keeping y'all up to date with all of that. I'm excited for him. I really am. Yeah, but other than that, me working, trying to have a personal life, getting ready to move. That's all that's been going on with me, trying to rebrand myself in the world. But yeah, that's all I have for the random rant. So, of course, I couldn't leave without giving y'all one last little therapy session. So let's go head on over to the couch.
You can't be above or below it. It's just what I was talking about, negative energy, positive energy. In order to draw the thing to you that you want to come, you can't want it so much that you fear that you won't get it. You have to want it. So in order for me to be on your vision board, you must have put it there and then you let it go.
Yes.
And then you weren't thinking about it every day. Because you can't, it doesn't come to you that way. You have to do it, and then you have to put it, and then you have to meet that vibration. You have to prepare yourself to be there and ready when it shows up. And you were, Jaleesa, you were there.
So what you just heard was a clip of an interview that Oprah was doing when she was promoting the movie A Wrinkle in Time. And the question that was asked was, does she still have a vision board? And she was saying that she doesn't, because she is now a master at manifestation. And then she explained how to manifest something, which is what I just played you. That really, really, really spoke to me, because I was like, man, it's so true. Sometimes we want something so bad that life as we know it and the world as we know it is over if we don't get it, that we obsess over it, and we become a slave to it. And a lot of times when you do, it never happens. And that really, I just saw this for the first time last night. It really has changed my thinking around today, just from this point forward, I'm like, wow, I'm going to meet the vibration. There are so many things that I wanted. There's goals that I have. But I had to come to the realization that I'm like, wow, I'm okay now that they're not here. They haven't happened. And I'm okay. I'm still a whole person. I'm still healthy and I'm not depressed. I'm all that. And I would be okay. Truly, I would be okay if none of it happened. However, I feel that, okay, if I put it out there, put one foot in front of the other and work towards it, it's mine. And that's what this podcast has been in this journey. This podcast has been me dipping my toe in the water of entering into this industry, so to speak, of entertainment. I've spoken for over the past 6 months here and there about, you know, me being someone who is into entertainment and music, and you know, I have some things on the table for 2019. I'm very excited about it because it's three things that I have, and I'm able to share because I've talked about it before. But 2019 honestly is going to consist of a revamp of this podcast, a nice relaunch, rebrand, whatever you want to call it. Just a nice upgrade, bigger and better. I will be recording and releasing my joint music project with two good friends of mine. Shout out to Malcolm and Sean. We're going to do just a great collab EP and from there branch out into us being our solo artists. And it's unconventional. I think it's a great idea. So we're doing that. And my other thing is I will be putting out, you guys will at least be seeing the pilot episode of my web series that I have written and I'm now developing. And so I'm very, very excited about that. I'll be behind the scenes, not in front of the camera. But I'm very, very excited about those three things. Those were the three things that I had for my 2018 goals. And in a way, I accomplished some things. This podcast was the one that I obviously was done. You know, I said I wanted to release music and some things just kind of happened and I lost my way a bit. And when this idea came to me about this joint project, I was like, man, this would be great. So I brought it to the fellas. They liked it and that's what we're going to do. So I at least set something in stone of what I'm going to do. And when it comes to the web series, I have written the pilot episode. So it is written. It's just the fact of me casting, getting together a little crew to film and edit it and all of that. But yeah. So I worked on everything in my goals for 2018. So 2019 is about really executing everything and taking everything to the next level. But I just want to say my challenge for everyone is just to put one foot in front of the other. You know, it may not always work out the way you want it to work out. And I've said this before, I wanted to be the music artist that happened to have a podcast and happened to have a web series. I have made my entrance into this industry, so to speak, as a host of a podcast. So now I'm the podcaster that's going to happen to do music. And that bothered me in the beginning, but it is what it is. It's fine. It's here. So I'm very excited about that. And I just want everyone to know that if you put one foot in front of the other, things will come to you in a way that you just don't expect. I've never been consistent really in my own projects and my own doings. So when I originally put my first episode out of this podcast, I was like, we'll see. Because I know me. I get very critical and I'll be like, oh, it was bad, or I don't like, and I would take it down. It would never see the light of day again. And it just amazed me how every week I just jump and record and do it. And, you know, I've been a little flaky as of late. And I felt myself kind of slipping and losing my way in this because things that weren't happening the way I wanted them to happen. But I had to learn to surrender to it and say, you know what? I'm going to meet the vibration. I want this to be a bigger podcast, a bigger movement, and it will be. But if it doesn't, I'm going to be okay. So my challenge is for everybody to get those things in your mind that you want to do. Write them down or however you want to do it. Go towards them, but don't obsess, don't stress. Just meet the vibration and be prepared and ready to go when it comes to you, when you manifest it. So I'm going to end that on that note. I also just want to say, again, thank you guys so much. I cannot believe it's been 29 weeks with you guys. May 9th was the very first episode. And I encourage you guys to do some catching up on the episodes. I am going to be gone probably for, I will say, at least probably a month. What I will probably do, though, is record a couple of little, like, updates for you guys. They'll come to you guys as podcast episodes, but it'll probably just be a quick couple-minute update of, like, what's going on with me and what I'm doing and, you know, just kind of getting y'all geared up for what's coming. But, yeah, I'm really excited. And make sure y'all continue to rate and comment and share and subscribe. I gave y'all a little message earlier in the show, but I'll repeat myself again, is that I really want you guys to, all you guys that are my first season listeners, I really want y'all, I just want to put y'all in like a time capsule. I really want to know each and individual one of y'all, because I want to just know who my day ones were. So if y'all listening to this episode, shoot me a DM at Champagne Problems on Instagram and tell me what you love about the show. And I have a special surprise for y'all, the ones who DM me for season 2. So I love you guys, and I will see you guys sometime in January. I'll keep y'all posted with that as well. So make sure y'all follow me at Champagne Problems, and also my personal page at official_Nico, N-I-C-H-O. So official_NICHO. And until next time, y'all have a great, hope y'all have a great holiday. Happy New Year and all of that good stuff. Until next time, cheers.